friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
To God in prayer.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Come but with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace.
Good morning. Let us all rise and take the Gesangbuch der Mennoniten and sing number 436. Gesangbuch der Mennoniten 436. Bitte stehen wir auf.
Thank you. On this Eternity Sunday, I greet you with Psalm 90, verses 1 to 6 and verse 12. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that had just gone by, or watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up like new, but in the evening it dries and withers. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let us continue in song with our Brown Mennonite hymnal, number 84. O God, our help in ages past. Brown hymnal, number 84. Good morning and welcome all to our Eternity Life service this morning. We have a lot of guests that are associated with the people that have passed this year. We welcome you. Are there any other guests or anybody I'd like to get introduced at this time? If not, welcome. We thank Peter Lettman and the quartet this morning for their gift of music and song. We hope their words of faith and hope, as well as comfort and assurance, are found in these words and songs. Briefly to our announcements, there are many things to read, many people in the hospital and care homes that we have to pray for. Number one, our thoughts and prayers go to Anna Funk and Ike Gunther and family on the passing of her sister Elizabeth, which was already announced last week. John Erna Martin would like to thank everyone for the cards and condolences on the passing of John's brother. And let us prepare our hearts and minds for next Sunday when we'll be celebrating communion at our first Advent service. Other than that, there are many announcements of programs and activities happening in the church and around. Please review them and look at them and consider them for yourself. On the back page, a correction for the Friendship Bible Coffee Ladies, that'll be on December 22nd, not November. December 2nd. Ignore the other two. Okay, December 2nd. There is an insert regarding caregivers, and please read that. Consider that carefully of who we may look to for that position. I was also given one note. Please continue to pray for George and Nora Thiessen. The medical team has been able to control Nora's pain, but they're still waiting for the oncologist's report. Are there any other announcements people would like to highlight, or would somebody like to share something at this point? We do have a mic.
As I was reading Psalm 90, I continued reading past what we weren't supposed to read. But this happens to be just very fitting for me today. It starts in 14. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad in all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. This weekend I have been fighting very hard. I have had the one angel here and the one angel here, and they've been battling back and forth all weekend. Friday morning, I had watched Pastor Barber. I don't always watch him, but I happened to watch him Friday morning. And he was talking about miracle healings and how these days we just don't seem to, believe that they happened. We've sort of lost faith in prayer or whatever's happened. But, we just don't seem to believe in that anymore. And as he was reciting instance after instance where he himself has witnessed actual miracle healings, in fact, the very last one really stuck in my mind, where it was a young man who was in last stages of cancer, and the church's family was saving or was raising funds for the soon-to-be widow for the burial, and they actually ended up using that money for a second honeymoon. And he was free of cancer for the next 40 years, as far as I know, he still is. But at any rate, it was during this time when I just all of a sudden heard, Ed, you have to share this morning. And I just said, yes, God. And that was it. And like I say, I've been battling back and forth ever since. But the good angel went out. Thank you. As you know, I have been dealing with severe back pain for a lot of years. Actually, it's been about 43 years. I have gone through 4 surgeries, countless needles in my spine, many prayers, many pleadings on my part. I've even gotten down on my hands and knees begging for relief from my back pain. Doesn't happen. Still hasn't happened. Will it ever happen? I don't know. But I've had another issue that has arisen, a health issue that has arisen over the years. And I will apologize to my doctor at this point because I really wanted to talk to her about it first. But unfortunately, God threw a wrench into it for me. But I've had severe problems with my intestines. I have had just such horrible pain over the years. And it all started with bowel blockages to begin with. These last couple of months, September and October, have been the absolute most horrific time in my life when it comes to the intestinal pains. I should say that my doctor had since then sent me to a specialist who did his thing and who in turn is now sending me to another specialist for which I'm waiting for in December. But as we all know, specialists take months, right? So in the meantime, my pains kept suffering and suffering. October 29th, that was a Wednesday, the pains which would come about every second day, This one happened to be the most horrific pain I have ever gone through. It's like my intestines were being totally torn to shreds. When Adina came home at around 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening, it was just one of those times that she finally happened to see me in such terrible pain. And all she could do was just sit beside me with her arms around me and just pray. Finally, she had to go to bed, and all night long, I just lay, walked in terrible, terrible pain, and it did not go away until about 4:30 the next morning. And I just told God, I said, that's it. I said, if somebody were to offer me arsenic to take the pain away, I would take it in an instant. It was that bad. But I also prayed, Lord, please heal my intestines, please. But then I also added one more that I never did before. I said, Lord, if you're not going to heal them, could you please at least send somebody my way that will help me? I won't get into details. That was October 29th. November 1st, there was a knock at our door, and this lady walked in. As of November 14th was the last time I had any intestinal pains. They're gone. They've disappeared. And it's because of a product that she was giving me to take. Now, I know you're probably saying, well, what does God have to do with the product? Well, God has lots to do with product. God creates everything, including our medicines. Isaiah was instructed to put a poultice on Hezekiah's boil. He was given 15 extra years to live. Jesus himself spit on his hands, mixed it with mud, and put it on the blind man's eyes, and he saw. He was healed from his blindness. God can use everything. God can use anyone. And this woman was not a Christian either. And she has since worked tirelessly helping me with, she knows our financial situation because this stuff is expensive, but she's been working tirelessly in providing me with other options in regards to foods that I can eat that are healthy for the intestines and so on and so on. But the bottom line is that the answer is yes, God does heal. Not in ways that we may want or think that he does, but God does heal. Power of prayer is very, very powerful if you truly believe in it. It does help. I think there was lots more that I wanted to say, but it all seems to be gone. But I will just simply add this last little bit. Pastor Gary has developed or is in the process of developing a prayer program within this church. He's already started. He has also asked me to help him with it, which I have wholeheartedly agreed to. And I just want you to know that you're going to be hearing more about it in the next few weeks to come. And I hope that you will be able to just take up the call and be a prayer partner for all those who need the prayers. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Ed. Anyone else? May God bless what Ed said. Let us join our hands in prayer. Dear Lord, we gather and praise your holy name. We come to thank you for unfailing love and for everlasting hope that we can have in you. We pray for all those concerns that we have just heard about and read about this morning. We pray for those around the world, those that are dear to us and those that are far away. We need those that need your gentle hand of love, of comfort, of healing, of patience, and encouragement. We pray you may touch those around the world who need your love. May you work both in small ways and in large ways. May you work with the leaders and individuals to bring both faith, blessings, justice, freedom, mediation, friendship, and care. Lord, the psalmist phrased that there are times, many times, and many seasons in our life's journey. As we look forward, next week is Advent, and today, though, we look for a time of reflection of the past year, remembering of those who have gone past, who have passed on and into your glory. Please bless our words and our songs and our acts of remembrance this morning. so that we may commit ourselves to you and be strengthened in our faith. Please bless us now, dear Lord. Amen. Let us continue in song number 529 in the Brown Hymnal, Come Thou, We That Love the Lord. We'll be taking the offering, number 529.
Thank you.
teach us to grow, to love and forgive, and know your near each moment we live. Grant us the strength to walk with you each day, and lead us back, Lord, if we should stray. When there is darkness, help us search for light, and find the morning beyond the night. Help us to reach to those who are in need. Help us to teach that others may believe. May we be kind in all that we do, and find the hope to carry us through. O loving Father, please hear us as we pray. Give us the courage to face each day. Through all our trials, may our faith increase. Show us the way to live in love.
Frank Neufeld to come up. He has a poem he'd like to share with us.
I have a book that I can easily reach. It is a book that says, Gebete für ältere Menschen, prayers for older people. And you can see why that might interest me. It is written by Kurt Rommel, this one, and it says, Der Freunde Schar wird kleiner. And when I read it last month, I felt I had to translate it. And I entitled it, My Circle of Friends is Shrinking. Here is that prayer. Lord, you, the creator of life and of all good gifts, you have given me many friends. Through many years of close association with them, I have been richly blessed with their goodness, with their understanding, with growing and lasting love, with wise counsel, and with actions of kind assistance. They have challenged me. They have admonished me. They have encouraged me and admonished me, have supported me in my faith, and given me new hope for the morrow. But their numbers are shrinking. One by one, they are being called away. Every time this happens, it gives me pain. But every time this happens, you, Lord, give me another reminder that my hour is drawing near. Grant me wisdom, Lord, to use the time still allotted to me judiciously. And that, as the frailties of getting older affect me, my thoughts do not dwell so much on me, but on others, who are also bearing heavy burdens on their journey. Give them the strength to bear what they need to bear, and the patience and courage to carry what you have ordained them. Keep us united in our friendship on our journey, so that we may support one another for as long as you sustain our being together. And when our life here comes to an end, give us the grace to part from one another in the firm faith that we are now and will eternally be bound together in our faith in you, Lord, the giver of all good gifts. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Frank. Let us sing together, "Under His Wings, I Am Safely Abiding," number 575 in the Brown Hymnal. And if you are able, let's stand. 575.
Harry has fallen. It's a wonderful thing to do this in church when there's two doctors within 5 feet of you. So please continue to keep him in our prayers. This is a very special Sunday for us, Eternity Sunday. It's a Sunday we remember those that we care about that have gone before us. And you'll notice that several of the things of our service are a little different. One of them is you'll notice that if you look through the bulletin, we're singing a few German songs. We don't often do that. German is the heart language for many of those people who have passed away. And so we sing in their memory. And if you, like me, don't understand German, what I would invite you to do is just take a look around and you'll see somebody that is deeply touched by these songs, because these songs root deep into our history of many of the people here. And so what I would invite you to do, if you don't get it, look around and see somebody that is, and just know that they are being deeply touched. You'll also notice that we sing gospel songs on a service like this, because it comes, we think of our faith in the simplest terms, looking at what Jesus has done for us. On Eternity Sunday, We're invited to come, as I mentioned, and remember those that we have loved and cared for who have gone before us, who have passed away, or can we say it out loud, who have died. And we come, we say what we have learned to say in our faith for many years, and that is they've gone to a better place. Jesus has called them home. We look at passages like John chapter 14 and we say, ah, Jesus said, I prepare a place for you, and we believe that. But we also stand here or sit here as people who are deeply torn. Because when people leave, when people die, it tears a chunk right out of our lives in many cases, because these people were close to us, were important to us. I go to visit folks that one of the partners has passed away. Inevitably, they say through tears, it's so lonely. I come home and there's no one there. So we bring those two together in a passage that John is going to read in a little while from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he starts the passage by saying, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. But what is he saying? That we don't grieve, not at all. He's saying we grieve as those who do have hope. And so we can weep and we can let the tears flow and we can get that out because we have a hope that is rooted deep. This morning we want to begin by remembering the 9 people from our congregation or related to our congregation who have passed away since the last Eternity Sunday. You see the 9 candles up here. And in a few moments, I'm going to be asking those who will be lighting the candles, if you're not already at the front, if you'd join me at the front here and sit in one of the front 2 pews. When they come to the front, I'll give them a candle to light from the Christ candle. Now, the Christ candle here, this candle represents Jesus Christ, who's the light of the world. He's the source of our hope. And as we light the candle and transfer that light over here to the person we're remembering, we're saying to ourselves, in the middle of our grief, we have hope. We are the people of God. And the hope that we find in Scripture is realized through tears. There it is. All of us go through grief somewhere along the way. We'll talk about that later if there's time. And so we realize that 1 year doesn't take care of it all, does it? And so after the 9 have lit the candles, John is going to join me here, and we're just going to open it up. Any of you who would like to come and light a candle for anyone that you know that has passed away, and it doesn't need to be this past year. Sometimes when you think back about people who have passed away, a friend, a child, a spouse, whatever it might be, even if it's years back, it still weighs heavy. And so what we invite you to do today is to come up at that time. We'll give you a candle from the Christ candle. You light it. We have tea lights on either side. We invite you to come and light a candle. Remember, let go, and know that God is here and that the people who are sitting in the pews will be praying for you. So I'd like to invite those who will be lighting a candle for the 9, and I don't know if I mentioned, but the list is in the bulletin. If you're not sitting at the front, if you could come to the front, John will be reading the names one by one in a little while, and as the name is read, then come and bring a candle. I'll give you a candle. So if you could just sit in the pews for the moment. One other comment. If for any reason you find it too much to come up when the name is called, that's okay. Just sit there and I will light the candle for you. I forgot to mention, if more than one person would like to come and light a candle, that's wonderful. I'll give you each a candle.
9th, 2014, age 84. Frank Enns, passed away January 28th, age 90 years old. Frank Martins passed away January 31st, age 83. Gerhard Braun passed away June 26th, 89 years old. Margareta Jansen, August 26th, age 89. Donald Kaplecki, died September 10th at age of 58. Annie Knells passed away July 26th, 29th, age 86. Eric Hirschfeld passed away October 19th at the age of 46.
Like to take the candle home later on. We've not moved them intentionally, so you can take the candle that you have lit home if you would like. We'd like to now open it up. If you would like to light a candle for someone that you are remembering, that you are grieving for, that you would like to stake your hope in the middle of grief, we invite you to do that.
Thank you.
compassionate God. You have made us for a relationship with you and for each other. You know the pain and sorrow that happens when we say goodbye. It's always too early. And so we have come this morning, God, to share our grief, but also to cling tenaciously to the hope that you give. Thank you for your arms of love and compassion that reach out to embrace us through your Spirit. Thank you for those you have placed around us, on whose shoulders we can cry. And thank you for placing within us a candle, a light, a source of hope that comes from you.
Can I ask us all to indulge so that Gary doesn't have to give up his message? I know we usually end at 12, but I'm sure we wouldn't mind staying a few extra minutes.
It's okay, I'm used to being told what to do. What I was going to say can be said very briefly. We all experience death in one way or another. Sometimes it's when people close to us pass away, like a grandparent or a friend. Sometimes it's through a miscarriage or a stillbirth. Sometimes it's through not being able to have children. Sometimes we experience death or think a lot about death as we experience divorce. Divorce is another one, but also depression. Depression brings that to mind and it becomes a part of who we are, sort of a death thing going on in the back of our head. We live in a society which on the one side holds up death. Watch the movies around us. Everything about killing and zombies and everything else. And on the other side denies it. Everybody tries to stay 29. And for those of you who are younger, yes, it's young. But we need to grieve. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in her book on death and dying talks about the 5 stages of death. We need to let that out. Sometimes within the context of faith, people say you can't grieve. We need to believe that Jesus has taken care of everything. And guess what? God has built us to be in relationship, as I mentioned in the prayer a few moments ago. And when that is taken away, that's not God's intention. That gets reinstalled later on. We need to believe that. We were built for relationships with God and with each other. And the passages, both of them, Psalm 90, which John read before, and 1 Thessalonians 4, which I'll read momentarily, begin by saying, we all die. And it looks a little bit harsh to begin with. Psalm 90 especially, it's like the grass of the fields, like saying, it's like a snowflake falls in Thompson, you know, it's there till spring, it melts, whatever. Who cares? But read them again. And when you read the passages again, what they say in Psalm chapter 90, it says God is there. The one who created everything is there and watches over us. And he has his finger on even that snowflake in Thompson. He cares about us. Everything, every death matters. So teach us to number our days because they're important. And it puts death in the context of hope. And likewise, 1 Thessalonians 4. What does 1 Thessalonians 4 say? It starts with those verses. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who fall asleep so that you do not grieve like the rest of humanity. We don't. We grieve. Because the pain is sharp. And it hurts. And we miss these people. They touched our lives. They made a difference. And God placed them there for a reason. Of course we grieve. We grieve with hope. We grieve with hope. We read this passage and we make it do all sorts of things. We say, well, do the people who die stay in the grave till later? Or do we meet them? Or do we know each other? And what happens if somebody, you know, is it bodily resurrection? What happens if a shark bites your leg off and you end up being buried without a leg? You have no leg in heaven. And Paul didn't write this to answer that. Paul wrote this for the very reason that we are doing this today. And that is to say, people, we die. But it doesn't end there. It really, really doesn't. There's more. God has made us like himself to live on forever. Jesus promised, I got a place prepared for you. And as I read 1 Thessalonians 4, and maybe I'm reading it with one eye partway shut. You can talk to me about that later, but I think it says that God collects us all up in whatever manner he does it, changes our body into that new body that 1 Corinthians 15 says, in whatever manner he does that. And folks, we land up around the throne of God, holding hands and worshiping God. No more broken relationships. So for now we weep. For now we're sad. But in the back of our minds, we know that God has promised something more. This isn't all there is. This isn't all there is. I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 17. And it ends with those wonderful words. Encourage each other. Well, let me just read it, I guess. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you will not grieve like the rest of humanity who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. There's the thing, right there. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Es gibt eine Heimat im himmlischen Licht, bereitet von Heilandem ein. Und wenn er mich ruft, so weiß ich gewiss, ich werde kein
dein Fremdling dort sein. Ich weiß, ob auch Menschen mich selten verstehen, ob Freunde mich lassen allein. Wenn meinen Erlöser ich droben will sehen, ich werde kein Fremdling dort sein. Oh nein, denn ich kenne den Heiland zu gut, er ist ja auf Erden schon mein. Und geh in den Himmel ich ein durch sein Blut, so werde ich kein Fremdling dort sein. Dort sind meine Lieben am goldenen Strand und Flossen von himmlischem Schein. Mit ihnen noch wandle auch ich Hand in Hand. Ich werde kein Fremdling dort sein. O Fremdling, mein Heiland, findest du er wäschet im Blute dich rein. Komm heute zu ihm und dann singe auch du. Ich werde kein Fremdling dort sein. Oh nein, denn ich kenne den Heiland zu gut. Er ist ja auf Erden schon mal. Geh in dem Himmel ich ein durch sein Blut, so werd ich kein Fremdling dort sein.
Just like to remind those who came to light a candle, you're welcome to take that home. If you were wanting to light a candle and didn't, we'll leave this up here for a little while. You can come and do that later. There's something, a death that you are struggling to process and you need somebody to talk to and you don't have someone, give me a call. Stop in. We need to talk. We really do. I'd like to invite you to stand, take that little black book in front of you, the Gesangbuch, and turn to whatever number you're told to in the hymn book, in the bulletin. 459, please. I'd like to read those amazing words from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, through the death brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Is this the right one? Dear Savior. Himmel.